Father, bless these words to our hearts in Jesus' name. Turn in your Bibles, please, to 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. Sometimes it's very easy for us believers when we get inundated with the details of life, perhaps, or when we go through things maybe that are challenging to us, or perhaps when there are long time periods involved, let's say prayer and answer to prayer, or call and its realization. Sometimes it's very easy for us to wonder, is this going to work for me? Is God going to come through? Will this in fact take place? Maybe it won't. But God doesn't work on our scale. God doesn't work by our time clock. God works by His divine plan. The Word of God says in verse 24 that faithful is He who's called you who will also do it. Faithful is He who has called you who will also do it. I was called to be a pastor. I sensed the call. I didn't have a great deal of clarity at the time, but I sensed the call back in 1986 or 1987. But it was years and years and years later that the realization of the call actually came about through means that I would have never anticipated or predicted, through ways that I did not understand. I looked at things and I thought, you know, this is where my life is heading. I don't see it. I sensed the call, and the call, the conviction of it became greater and greater with time. At first, it was like a young guy who's kind of like, okay, maybe this is what God's going to do for me. But then the separation of the first moment when God puts something in the heart, and then the realization, that interval can be very large at times. And it doesn't have to be an interval necessarily, but this is just the example. And you look at it and you say, I don't know. My life is heading a different direction now, and I know it's the will of God that I'm heading in this direction. But that doesn't seem to agree with the call of God in this other area. But I know that this is what God wants from me now. I can't reconcile them. But that's okay. This happens in the believer's life, that very often we enter into things that we have trouble reconciling. And this is normal. This is okay. You see, the problem with us trying to reconcile things like prayer and its answer, call and its realization, hope and its fulfillment, is this, that in Romans 11:33, that God's ways are past finding out. God's ways are past finding out. It says in the beginning of the passage, oh, the depth of the riches, both of the wisdom and the knowledge of God. How unsearchable are His judgments, and His ways are past finding out. How many people pray, but the prayer doesn't seem forthcoming? How many people hope for something from God, but it doesn't seem forthcoming? You see, it's not that God won't answer. It's that His ways are past finding out. In other words, God operates in profound judgment and wisdom. He has all knowledge, and He knows exactly how things work and what will work, and the time and the people and everything involved. He knows how to orchestrate, but I can't comprehend His orchestration. Have you ever worked on a jigsaw puzzle and you were missing some key pieces, and you couldn't get the puzzle to go together? You know kind of what it should look like, what you're hoping for, but you can't find those key pieces, and it's like you have this vague sense, but how's it going to happen, God? How are You going to come through for me in my situation? What are You going to do? God, this looks impossible. You see, the reason why we say these things isn't because we don't trust Him necessarily. It may be simply because we're missing key pieces. We don't know what God is doing all the time. We don't know all the pieces that belong in the puzzle. We just know what the finished puzzle should look like. We can look at the box. And likewise, when I was a young guy, God said, "Pastor, you're going to be a pastor." And it's like, God, how these pieces aren't fitting together. I got my Bible college training, and I even went on the mission field, God, and I came home, and I went back into secular university to study science. Really, God? And I remember asking Him, "Really, God?" Now, not in like disbelief, because I knew very clearly, I heard Him clearly that this is what I was supposed to be doing. But at the same time, it's like I couldn't reconcile the two. The pieces weren't there for me. In your lives, you're going to encounter situations. Perhaps you have a call on your life. Perhaps you have a prayer. Perhaps you have something you're facing. Perhaps you're claiming certain promises from God. Whatever it may be, in your lives you will encounter situations where you have missing pieces, where you can't figure Him out, where you don't know the ways of God, because they are unsearchable and they are past finding out. You see, if I believe that I have to find out the ways of God in order for God to work in my life, I'm going to live with a great deal of anxiety. If I feel like I need to understand the ways of God in order for God to come through for me, let's say in a trial, then I'm going to live in a great deal of fear. But God says that He operates in great wisdom and knowledge and great judgment. And these things are unsearchable. In other words, I can't begin to understand them. I can't begin to fathom even the first thing in the plan of God. God gives a promise in His Word. God, how are you going to make this happen? God puts a call on a person's life. God, how are you going to make this happen? Don't worry about how God will make things happen. I think this trips us up sometimes. Not that we would stop following God, or that we would stop living with Him, or that we wouldn't be faithful. But I think in our own peace, the peace in our own hearts, I think the contentment that we have, sometimes we lose some of that because we don't understand the ways of God, and we desire to. We want to know how. And God says, sometimes I'm not going to tell you how. Why? God, how are you going to make Israel, how are you going to make David the king of Israel? I'm not going to tell you how, David. I'm just going to anoint you to be the king. And you're just a young guy. But I'm going to anoint you to be the king. And then Saul, the king, is going to start going after you. I can't help but wonder how often, because it must have happened at least once in a while, how often did David wonder, how is this going to work out? I have this call from God. How is this going to work out? I'm with the Philistines right now because Saul's trying to kill me. And I'm actually going to, you know, they're facing Israel in war, and I'm standing with the Philistines. And the Philistine lords, you see, this was a provision from God. The Philistine lords, they didn't want David near them because they didn't trust him. And so David went to fight with somebody else. You can never pass up a good fight. But I can't help but wonder, how often did that happen? How can this be, God? Mary asked that, right? How can this be, God? How can, she's been talking to God. How can this be when Gabriel said, you know, she was going to bear a son? I've been with no man. How can this be? You see, Mary, you got the call. You got the definition. But you're missing some pieces. And so you don't understand. And in that specific case, the angel told her. He gave her the missing pieces. He said, it's going to happen because it's of the Holy Spirit. And then she understood. And she said, according to your word, be it unto me. In our lives, we will find situations where we are missing the pieces. It's not wrong to ask God, how can this be? But understand that He may or may not tell you. And we need to be okay with that. I need to operate in such a level that I simply trust Him, regardless. I have found that whenever I try to predict God, I predict incorrectly. I've also found that whenever God says something, He is faithful to it. But I can never figure it out. Because I'm missing pieces. I can't have all the pieces. Why? Different reasons, I'm sure. I don't know all of them. Perhaps capacity. I don't know. Perhaps I would try to get my hands on things. I don't know. But I don't always know how. I have a prayer and I don't know how God's going to answer it. How many people pray and they say, God, it's hard for me to pray. And they don't say these words, but this is in their own heart. It's hard for me to pray because I can't see for the life of me how you could possibly do this. Don't ever let that hinder you from praying. The fact that you see something as impossible means that it's impossible for you. But God is not a man. What is impossible for me is possible with God. He's not a man. You see, there was a day when the giants were taken out of Canaan. There was a day when the walls of Jericho did fall over. What they didn't know was what Rahab told them decades later. That from the day that Israel went through the Red Sea and God delivered them from Egypt, the giants were terrified of Israel. You see, they were missing the pieces. If the spies in the land had known that they were missing pieces, or maybe if they had the missing pieces, perhaps they would have not been so afraid. But God keeps the pieces missing because apart from the missing pieces, I don't operate in faith. What trust do I need to have if I have all the answers? If I have all the answers, how will I function? Isn't it good to have answers? You might think to yourself, I know this is what I would think. Isn't this good to have answers? Isn't it good for me to have understanding? But consider something. God's answers and a corrupt mind, they don't go together. God answers as I need. God brings that which I pray for. God's faithful to His call. God says something. 7 years down the road it happens. Why 7 years, God? Trust me. You see, the answers sometimes wouldn't work in a corrupt mind. Why? Because I can't hold God's truths all that well. This is why we need to hear doctrine all the time. Because we can't hold God's truths all that well. We are imperfect vessels. We have sight that doesn't see. I see this book. I see the car. I see the tree. I see a cup. I see you. But I don't see tomorrow. Tomorrow is not far away. Tomorrow is just a few hours, but I don't see it. And so we have this very imperfect vessel. And God answers according to my need, not according to my desire to understand things that are past finding out. Don't ever let the fact that you can't understand hinder your trust for what He says. He says, if you ask, you will receive. He says, if there's a battle to be fought in your life, He'll fight it. He says, if He gives you a call, He will do it. He says, if you ask Him, He will order your steps. He never says He will make you understand. His ways are past finding out. Don't be afraid of the missing pieces. God has them. Now, if God has the missing pieces, then be afraid. But He's not missing any of the pieces. He has the entire puzzle intact and put together. I don't have all the pieces. The Word of God says in Isaiah 55 that His thoughts are not mine, and His ways are not my ways, and that His thoughts and His ways are higher than mine, indescribably higher than mine. As far as the heavens are above the earth, His ways are higher than mine. How can my mind grasp God's ways? It cannot. I believe that this is why often God omits the details. This is why God often doesn't say when or how, but often just gives me the what. You're going to be a pastor. When? I'm not telling you. How? I'm not telling you. Because I couldn't hold them. But if I held them, would I trust Him? If I had the perfect mind that He has, and I could hold all the pieces, all the truths of God, would I trust Him then? You see, there's this thing about not knowing. There's this thing about not being able to see your way to the end of the circumstance. There's this way about not knowing how you're going to fight this battle or how God is ever going to come through for you. There's this thing about when something bad happens and you can't for the life of you see how this is going to turn out well. The thing is, this is my opportunity to trust Him. I don't trust God when I have the answers. I trust Him when I don't. I don't trust God for the things I can see. I trust Him for the things I can't see. I don't trust God for that which I get. I trust Him for that which I don't get. Apart from faith, it's impossible to please Him. How does it work? God leaves the gaps so they can be filled by faith. Not explanations. They don't get filled by my explanations. They get filled by faith. In other words, the gaps come together when faith is operational. Now, that doesn't mean that I'll have all the information. That'll mean that I don't need the information to keep my contentment and my peace and my reliance and my confidence and my hope and expectation. I feel bad when I hear someone trying to understand God's way in their life, because it's a hopeless cause. God's way in their life isn't, but the understanding of it is. Quite frankly, I still don't know how I got here. I mean, I know the details, but how did God make it work? I can tell you the details now when I look back on what happened. But I mean, the timing and the people and the circumstances and the place and everything to work just so. And I look at it and think, my goodness, how did God make that happen? I get it for me, but for you? How did God make that happen? I got a call to be the pastor of people that weren't even born when I got the call. But you know what? God made it happen. You know why? He knew me, and He knew you. And He knew you before you were born. And He started orchestrating your lives before you were born. How did He do that? Don't try to understand it. You never will. Know that His ways are above your ways, His thoughts above your thoughts, and His ways past finding out. But He does operate in the riches of both wisdom and knowledge, and also of unsearchable judgment. And so He calls and makes it happen. One day you're in a situation and all of a sudden the situation changes. You're fighting something, someone is coming against you, you got a persecution, harassment, difficulty, loss of job, economic, family thing going on, and one day it changes. And all of a sudden things are different. And all that time you were like, God, is He going to come through? God, please come through. Are You going to, please, God, I'm asking You, come through. Are You going to come through? And then one day He comes through. And it comes to pass that God does what He said. Don't worry about the pieces you don't have. Focus on the God who is faithful to make all things beautiful in their time. But don't worry about the pieces you don't have. This is why people worry at all. Because they don't have all the pieces. In Isaiah 46 and verse 10, God declares the end from the beginning. Now get this, from ancient times, not just from today for tomorrow, but from ancient times, the things that are not yet done, saying, My counsel will stand, and I shall do all My good pleasure. God declares things from ancient times. God calls those things that are not as though they were. And He declares from ancient times what will be. How does He do that? But how is it that thousands of years ago He could tell us about today? How is it that Daniel could tell you exactly how many days it will be before Christ returned? How is it that the prophets managed to tell us on what day, yes, actually on what day Israel would become Israel again after a 2,000 year separation? Pastor Stevens talks about that. I think the message is called The Wonders of His Word. Three thousand years before it happened, the prophets told what day it would take place. He said May, and they didn't use the dates, but they gave the information in the context that they possessed it, and you could trace it and you could use it, and you could say 3,000 years ago, May 18th, 1948, Israel would be a nation again. I think it was May 18th. Is that right? Well, I think it was May 18th. But 3,000 years ago, they gave the day that Israel would become a nation again. How is that? You see, faithful is He who calls, who also does it. And though I cannot grasp how God could have that happen after Rome and Titus of Rome levels Jerusalem and Israel is deported and Babylon before that, and then after that Hitler, and God says, yes, I'm aware of all these things in between, but this is how it will be. And then it came to pass. Folks, the things that God gives, He gives without explaining. He just gives them. If He explained everything to us, would we be able to understand? If we were able to understand, would we then trust Him? The things that God gives, He gives without explaining, because His ways are unsearchable and past finding out. The Word of God says in 1 Peter 2, in verse 9, that we have a certain call on our lives. Don't ask how this is going to happen. Just know that it will. There are certain calls God puts on our lives. One of them in 1 Peter 2:9 is that we are called out of darkness into His marvelous light. We're called to be a chosen generation and a royal priesthood and a holy nation and a peculiar people. And we're called out of darkness into His marvelous light. We're called out of the ways of the world. We're called out of the ways of the old sin nature. And we're called into marvelous light. But how does He do this? How is it that I can pray for somebody who is lost and I have no idea how in the world their hardening hearts are going to ever accept the Savior, except that I know this, that if I pray, He answers. That He hears what I have to say to Him. That He inclines His ears to hear my heart's prayer. That He answers what I say. That the angels bring Him my prayers in golden censers and vials mixed with incense. And He breathes my prayers in and then He answers them. And He sends angels to help my prayers. How does He do that? I don't know. How do you inhale a prayer? I don't know. But I know what He said. And I trust Him with the rest. That if I pray, He answers. If I'm called, He does it. If I have need, He provides. If I lose my job, that He'll take care of me. If I lose a loved one, that He'll comfort me. I don't know how He does it. He just does. I don't need to know. He knows. I just need to trust Him. Folks, don't look for explanations. Just trust Him. The world will say, well, you got blind faith. Yeah. I have faith. The world is just blind. You see, with my little bit of faith, I can see the invisible. I can see what is coming. I can know someone intimately, and I can't even touch him. I can't see him, but I can hear him. But I don't hear him with my ears. I hear him with my heart. And it's not even subjective. It comes as it was said. Don't look for your explanations. Just trust him. Missing pieces were not missing by accident. They're missing by design. In Ecclesiastes 3:11, the Word of God says He makes everything beautiful in His time. Also, He had set... It says in King James, the world, it's actually eternity. He had set eternity in their hearts so no man can find out the work that God maketh from the beginning to the end. You see, this is the life of a believer. That to the world we make no sense. They cannot comprehend us. Sometimes we can't comprehend us. Like, why are you leading me here, God? Why are you doing it this way? What is the purpose of this? And God stays quiet. But you know, God's quietness is just quietness. it's not the same as an activity. God stays quiet for a reason, so that I'll trust. The Word of God says in Isaiah 61:3, that God appoints unto them that mourn in Zion to give them beauty for ashes and oil for mourning. Did you know that you were called to have beauty given to you for your ashes and oil given to you for your mourning? That God will take that which is corrupt and destroyed in your life and He'll make it something beautiful. That God will take your tragedies and make them sources of life. That God will take something that is causing you sorrow and cause it to become a great source of joy. God does that. You are called to these things. The garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness, and that they might be called trees of righteousness, the planting of the Lord, that He might be glorified. God looks for your troubles. Your troubles are God's opportunities. Your trials are God's opportunities. The things which you are waiting for are God's opportunities. Oh, you see them as burdens. God sees them as His opportunities. In truth, they are yours also. Do you see them that way? I don't always see them that way. Sometimes I'm tired of waiting. I'm tired, like, God, where are you going to answer my prayer? But it's my opportunity. The waiting process is the real process. The answer is the icing on the cake. But it's the waiting process that I'm conformed to the image of Christ. It's the waiting process that I learn how to be patient so that I can gain experience, so I can have hope, so I'm not disappointed. It's the waiting process where character is developed in me by the Holy Spirit. It's the waiting process when a person is frequently broken. God, I've been in this difficult situation for a long time now. And God says, I'm breaking you exactly the way I want you. If I'm broken properly, the Holy Spirit comes out. The nature of God comes out. If I'm broken properly, I've become Spirit-filled. His ways are past finding out. Did you think God will only do the superficial? Did you think that if you prayed, God will only answer the prayer and that is all He will do? God doesn't operate that way. God will answer the prayer, but He will do it on every imaginable level. He will do it in such a way that it builds you into His image. He will build it in such a way that you develop tremendous confidence in His character. He will do it in such a way that you see God and that's all you see. He will do it in such a way that the world will say, that was a miracle. Because it was. He'll do it in so He does one prayer and 50,000 different things happen as a result. Why? I always thought of it as God's efficient. But it's not so much efficiency. It's just God knows what the prayer means. God knows what a call means. What is a call? I'm called to something. I'm called to be a pastor. I'm called to be married. I'm called to be in some place. What is a call? A call is simply the way in which God expresses Himself to you and then through you. That's a call. The rest of the details, they're kind of just details. And so God says, there's the call, I'll do it. How will you do it? Don't worry about it, I'll do it. I don't have the pieces, God. He said, that's by design. So that you trust me. God, it's impossible for you, but not for me. Don't be afraid of what's impossible for you, because nothing's impossible with Him. Be afraid of being separated from Him, but don't be afraid of what's impossible for you. You see, God, His ways, you cannot understand them. You're not going to figure it out. They're unsearchable. And He's not always going to tell you. As a matter of fact, usually He won't. Oh, He'll put a vision in your heart. Oh yeah, He'll give you a call. Oh yeah, He'll give you a burden for prayer. Oh yeah, He'll put love in your heart for a person. But He's not going to give you the details from here to there. It's not like God provides us with a GPS. God just says, trust. Do you know why? I think if God gave me the directions, I would try to produce them. If I produce them, I mess them up. So God says, stand still and know that I am God. And as I'm standing still in complete confidence and relaxation before Him, because that's the only reason why I can stand still, things happen around me. Things I don't even understand. Things that just take place and I'm like, where did that come from? God puts people, God puts things in people's heart. A missionary out on the field, God just puts it in somebody's heart, giving them some money. They don't know what's going on. They don't know they have a need. God's just somebody's heart, give them some money. Go encourage that person. Love somebody. Be kind to them. Smile at this one. Give this one a track. You just stand still and God orchestrates. Why don't you go over there and you do this here? And God orchestrates. And we're just standing still. I think if God gave us the directions, we would try to produce them. The problem is the directions are bigger than I. I can't produce into tomorrow or yesterday. I can't produce beyond where I can reach. And that's often what I need to do. And so God leaves these gaps for me so that I'll trust Him. So that I will acknowledge Him in all of my ways. So that He can direct my path. So that I know that I did not do it, but He did. So that He gets the glory and not my old sin nature. So that I'll keep trusting Him the next time. You're called into things you're not going to understand. And that's going to happen to you over and over. But you're not going to understand. Because the call wasn't into understanding. The call was a call to faith. And so God says, trust me. In Exodus 33 and verse 13, now therefore I pray thee, if I have found grace in thy sight, show me now thy way, that I may know thee, that I may find grace in thy sight, and consider that this nation is thy people. And this is Moses talking to God. And he says, God, show me the way now. God, show me the way now. And I love God's answer to him. He doesn't say to him, I'm not going to show you nothing. No, what does God say to him? My presence will go with thee and I will give thee rest. But God, show me how I'm going to do this. Show me how this is going to pan out. Show me how it's going to happen. Show me how I'm going to win. Show me how I'm going to overcome. Show me how I'm going to deal with the situation. Show me how. God, show me tomorrow. And God says, my presence is going to go with you. And I will give you rest. Why is there rest in His presence? Because there is joy in His presence. And when there is joy, there is peace. Where there is joy, there is strength. Where there is joy, there is rest. Why do I have joy? Because I'm in His presence. I can kind of grasp that. Can you imagine, for example, somebody who's shipwrecked, floating around in the middle of the ocean in a little dinghy, and then a big ocean liner comes by and they pick him up? Can you imagine the rest that that person must experience when they give him like a bed to lay in, and suddenly he's on this ocean liner instead of this little dinghy? I can't imagine, but it's happened to people, right? You get this in World War II, all these sailors, or even today, these people in these yachts, they get stranded and some ship picks them up. I can't imagine the rest that they must experience when they finally get picked up by that ship. Well, it's kind of like that. Where in God's presence, I have rest. Where I know I'm safe now. God is here. I'm safe now. God will take care of it. It's okay now. I don't get it, but you know, I don't need to. It's okay. God is here. God knows what He's doing. God opens the doors. God does this for me. God causes me to overcome. God resolves the problem for me. God fights my battle. God, it's this army against me. My presence will go with you, and I will give you rest. Relax. It's okay. It's okay. How am I going to do it, God? My presence is going to go with you, and I'll give you rest. Not exactly the explanation I was hoping for, God. It's okay. Just get on the ship, and it'll take you where it's going. You see, it's like this. I can analyze the dinghy all I like, but I'm better off on the ocean liner when it comes by. And God says, if you're in a dinghy, I'm sending you an ocean liner. If your troubles are a dinghy and you're in this, like you're facing situations that are too big for you, troubles that are too big for you, problems you just can't resolve, and you got a little dinghy, God says, don't worry. I'm sending an ocean liner your way. My presence will go with you. And you'll be able to relax because my presence is there. Don't worry. I fight the battle. I fulfill the call. I answer the prayer. I provide the need. Just rest. In John 15:11, the Word of God says, "These things I have spoken unto you, that my joy might remain in you, and that your joy might be full." So we turn to the Word of God, and it produces joy in our hearts because faith comes by hearing. And it produces joy in our hearts because the more that we receive it, mixing faith with what we hear, the more I'm confident. The more I can have an expectation, the more I get to know His character. There are people out there who have a difficult past. Maybe a difficult childhood, or maybe mistakes made or difficulties somewhere along in their life. Maybe things they brought on themselves, or maybe something somebody else has done to them. Can this person have rest? Absolutely. The thing to do is to not define your life or God by what has happened to you apart from Him. Don't define your life by even the things God allows, because you don't have all the pieces. Don't think this has taken place and so God is like this. You don't have all the pieces. Take God at face value. believe what He says about Himself, about you, in all the things He says. Believe His promises. Believe His call. Believe Him. Believe that He is faithful who called you, who will also do it. Believe that the one who fights battles will fight yours. Believe that the one who is your healing balm will heal you. Believe Him. Just take Him at His word. Well, I don't know if I can. These things have happened. Yes, but do you realize that you are looking at sight without knowing everything because you don't understand what those things will ultimately lead to? Perhaps some of the things that have happened were necessary to get you where you are, to cause you to hunger and thirst after Him, to grow. I knew a man years ago who used to be a part of a motorcycle gang. He was a bad news kind of a guy. You didn't want to meet this guy. And then one day he was riding his motorcycle and he hit a pothole. It was a large pothole, and the front wheel went all the way in, and the back wheel flipped over the top, and my friend flew off the motorcycle headlong into a telephone pole, shattered his spine, severed his spinal cord in places. He was a quadriplegic. He couldn't move, he could barely talk. He was living in a run-down sort of institutional housing sort of a place. I remember visiting him. There were roaches everywhere. It was horrible. But I asked him one time, I said, if this hadn't happened to you, would you have gotten saved? And he laughed at me. He shook his head and he said, no way. Absolutely no way. But you know, those hardships were past finding out. But there was one thing. He was going to go to hell, and now he's going to heaven. And yeah, it's difficult. There's no denying it. It's difficult. But there was a way that was past finding out. God did something for him he never dreamed, but he could never figure it out. But God did it. I can't help but wonder who prayed for this guy, because I'm sure somebody did. And somebody got an answer. Don't look to understand. Just believe Him. Trust His character, trust His word, trust His promises. Trust Him in all things. Trust Him. In Colossians 3:15, the Word of God says, "And let the peace of God rule your hearts, to which you also are called in one body, and be you thankful." Let the peace of God rule out your hearts. Did you know you're called to peace? You are. You're called to peace. How are you going to have peace? Well, you're going to get in His presence, and His presence is going to go with you. And you're going to see Him come through for you. And today you may be afraid, but you keep going and you don't quit. And you keep trusting, and you, though you may be afraid, and though you may be trepidatious trust, but there is going to be the time where it will come to pass that you see God do what He said. And that is where your patience will produce the experience. That is where you're going to be able to point back to the time and say, this is what God did for me. And there will be another person in your life. And they will say to you, I don't know, I'm very afraid. such and such is that my son is sick, or my daughter is in trouble, or we've lost our home, or something bad has happened, and I'm very afraid, and I'm very concerned. And you say, I understand, and I can pray with you, and I love you, but I'll tell you something. God did something for me, and I believe He's going to do the same for you. And you're able to encourage somebody's faith and build them up in the truths of God, in the fact that God is in fact faithful, because now you know that He is faithful. You see, He's faithful that called you. God called you to have peace, and He will do it. He will give you peace. In 1 Corinthians 7:15, in the B part of the verse, it says that God had called us unto peace. He will do it. Faithful is He who called you, who will do it. He will produce it in you. And you may not have it today, but the day will come when you do. Because His presence went with you, and He fought your battles, and you have rest. In Matthew 9:13, the Word of God says, go and learn what it means, I will have mercy and not sacrifice. For I am not come to call the righteous, but the sinners to repentance. Did you know that we are called to mercy? We are called to mercy. We are called to receive God's kindness toward us, God's patience toward us. This is what we are called to. And faithful is He who has called you, who will also do it. God has called you to mercy, and He will give you mercy. God had called you to grace, and He will give you grace. God had called you to loving kindness, and He will give you loving kindness. God has called you to gentleness, and He will give you gentleness. God had called you to goodness, and He will give you goodness. God had called you to trust Him, and He will teach you how to do it. Faithful is He who called you. He will do it. Don't you hesitate for a moment. But God, I don't know how you're going to do it. That's okay. His ways are past finding out. You don't need to understand. You just need to believe the character of the One who gave the promises. He will do it. In Galatians 5:13, the Word of God says, we've been called unto liberty. We've been called unto liberty. What does that mean, we've been called unto liberty? That means that I don't have to strive. That means that I have room to be a human being. That means that I don't have to be afraid that if I don't know how to trust Him yet, to come to Him anyway. That means that even in that situation, He abides faithful. That means my life is not dependent on the law. It's not dependent on my performance and how well I'm doing. I have liberty from these things. And the Word of God says, not to serve my flesh. Certain people might want to use this as liberty to sin somehow, but that's not, it says right here, it's not to serve my flesh. It's to trust Him. To be free from anxiety. To be free from fear. To be free from anger. To be free from the frustration of the old man. To be free through God's Word and God's character and God's promises and the Holy Spirit bringing these things to my heart. To be free from fear through expectation because I believe Him. To be free from the uncertainty because I always have to try to figure, analyze, and understand, know how it's going to happen. To be free from that because I trust. God called you to be free from those things. He'll do it. He'll do it. Do you live in fear? Do you live in anger? Do you live in frustration? Do you live in anxiety? Do you live in trepidation? Do you live in the mindset that has to understand anything before you can take another step? God will make you free from these things. He'll do it. How is He going to do it and when? I don't know. He doesn't offer that information. But He will do it. In Galatians 1:6, we've been called into grace. We've been called into grace. We've been called to have that government that is initiated by the throne of grace. We've been called into that three-dimensional grace that is the unmerited divine favor, that is the government of God, and that is His kindness toward us. We've been called into this. You don't have to figure out how you're going to grow into grace. You just draw near to God. How do you draw near to God? You draw near to the Word of God. You draw near to the body. You draw near in prayer and meditation. You draw near to that which is of God. His body, His mind, His fellowship. You draw near to God. And as you're drawing near to God, He performs what He called you to. He develops grace in your life. He develops doctrine in your heart that becomes governmental. He develops a way of thinking when you're constantly receiving His brand of unmerited favor, where you're constantly being loved by Him and constantly receiving the kindness of God. Do you see why the presence of God produces rest? Don't worry about how things are going to pan out, how things are going to happen, how things are going to work out, how is it going to be overcome, how am I going to succeed, how am I going to win, how am I going to get a spouse, is my kid going to be okay, how's my daughter going to grow up, is she going to be a good girl or not, is my son going to fail the class, or if he's like, what's going, is my kid going to end up in jail? Don't worry about those things. Pray. Draw near to Him. Take up the promises. And know that faithful is He who's called you, who will also do it. Amen.